the contact that I had, you know, he calls me, I think 3 days after the article came out. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going? I was like, good. Oh, I just wanted to run some things by you. Oh, by the way, I see your article. You're pretty famous now. And I was like, oh, I'm not. And I fired back saying, not as famous as you guys. I might be in the headlines for other reasons, but yeah, definitely not as popular as you guys. And then he laughed.
That was the voice of Surinder Gill, owner of Gill Freight Lines out of Manteca, California.
You know, we live here for the sunshine, but recent years, they've been pretty wet.
In more ways than one. When it rains, pours. Gill was speaking up top about the now infamous collapse of the Convoy Company as a going brokerage concern this past fall. He referenced a story Overdrive executive editor Alex Lockie wrote earlier this year, telling the tales of a variety of owner-operators and small fleet owners just like 28-year-old Gill, who, months following the abrupt shuttering of Convoy in October, remained unpaid for, in some cases, thousands worth of work hauling. In Gill's case, unpaid invoices were to the tune of around $35,000 worth of dedicated hauling his several company drivers and a larger number of owner-operators have been doing for big names in canning and general food products like the Post Company. I'm Todd Dills, and in this edition of the Overdrive Radio Podcast for April 22, 2024, we'll hear that, as of the last week, Gill Freight Lines remains unpaid, though the small fleet offered up a bit of information owner Gill's learned since our conversation. Contact made with the Hercules Capital Company, responsible for all business debt incurred by Convoy, yielded a name at least to attempt to recoup payment for carriers who remain unpaid. I have reached out to Hercules Capital, Gill said, and quote, was given the contact of a Greg Peterson, end quote, for everything Convoy related with the company, a venture funding firm that took control of all of the imploded company but for the technology platform. That platform was, of course, sold to the Flexport Company and quickly rebooted for freight, brokered through them. It's a fact that frustrates Gill and others among the unpaid carriers who'd worked with Convoy for years, which we'll hear well more about in this part one of two podcasts sharing Gill's story. It tracks back to his first days in trucking, the son of a longtime owner-operator father whose own work behind the wheel spanned 60 years and three continents, and who is memorialized on the back of his son's currently owned dry vans. After the break, we'll jump right into the elder Gill's history with Gill Freight Lines owner, Surinder Gill. So keep tuned.
Prepping for spring? Time to reach for Howe's. Clean, protect, and lubricate your diesel engine with Howe's Diesel Defender. It'll provide superior cleaning, maximum lubrication, and a guaranteed increase in fuel economy. For all your other spring projects, reach for Howe's multi-purpose lubricator and penetrating oil. With over 1,001 uses on almost any surface, it's the only can you'll need. Find Howe's products at retailers and truck stops nationwide and visit Howe'sProducts.com for more information.
Visit HOWESProducts.com for much more information about the company. Here's Surinder Gill telling the story of his family's trucking lineage, which traces all the way back to India with his father, Gamal.
You spent about 60 years driving across three continents. Started off in India, and he also drove in the Middle East.
Okay.
And then finally, when we migrated to the States, you know, he finished off his career here in the States. He used to go long haul, did drayage, intermodal. So, you know, after he passed away in 2018, we started to, you know, I was working for somebody as a dispatcher. And I wanted to do something to honor my father. And me and him had a old school relationship. You know, he wouldn't tell me I loved you or, hey, here, son, let's go play catch. No, I was very one-way relationship. You know, he's an old school dad, and like, how do I honor my father and his legacy and whatnot? We purchased a truck, got a trailer. I was like, all right, I'll just put his photo on the back and say, you know, in loving memory, and then, you know, it's got his photo, so he'll always be on the road in a way. That was the point of that.
What was his name?
His name was Gurmail, so Gurmail, Gurmail Singh Gill.
Did you grow up there in Manteca?
We flew into Los Angeles, and we first lived in a city called Fresno. most of our family was from Fresno, and we lived there for several years, and then ever since, you know, we just started moving on up due to work. And Manteca, we've been here since 2015. I've never driven, actually. I don't have a CDL.
Oh, you don't drive. Okay.
So I started after high school. I graduated in 2013, and a month later, I started working as a dispatcher.
Gotcha.
At a place where my dad used to drive. So I worked there up until his death in 2018. And after that, I started doing my own, you know, dispatching, booking freight, buying our own trucks. And so my own operation started in 2018. But I've officially been dispatching since 2013, so 11 years. I know how to drive. I mean, now, I don't know where you're going to record and play this, but, you know, if I need to get a truck from point A to point B, I can do it.
Okay.
I never took that next step and got a CDL. You know, I have a sports car. Like, I have a heavy foot sometimes, so I know the fines are heavier with a Class A than a Class C. when I dispatched, it was a big terminal, and in the evenings, me and my other dispatcher, we would go out into the yard and practice backing up trailers. All right, you know, we'll create a space for us and back in there and pull out and drive around the yard, so we got a hang of shifting, backing up.
Right.
And you know, that was an intermodal company, so the rail yard was very close, so we would sometimes go to the rail yard to take a trailer out, take one in. And nobody cared, you know. They, as long as they knew you by face, you know, you get to know these people. They don't ask for much, you know. But I never did anything on the roadways. That'd be a little crazy on my end.
Yeah.
I wouldn't risk my insurance, you know. They wouldn't cover me.
It wasn't long after the founding of Gil's small fleet, Gil Freight Lines, that he tried out and really liked the Convoy Brokerage's app for booking freight. He's such a fan of it, in fact, that much of his small fleet's business became centered around moving freight through Convoy. Eventually, a series of dedicated lanes that were fundamentally routine, stable business, as he tells in what follows here. See notes 2, among his primary contacts, there were high-level members of the team who tested out new versions of the app with Gil, soliciting his feedback on potential changes.
The guy used to call me when Convoy wanted to unveil a new design for their app. So he would, I think they had a group of carriers that they would call and get their inputs. Hey, if we do this, how does this look? Or if we do it like this, how does that look? Or should we do this or not that? You know, what's your feedback? So I felt honored when Convoy was operational and they would, you know, ask us these things, because it made me feel more a part of their program.
Sure.
But ever since the bankruptcy issue and the lack of communication and, you know, him saying, well, I had no idea. I'm like, you're the CEO's brother. You guys want to talk about this at family dinners? So it's like, ever since after that, you know, it's always left a bad taste with me, because I lost not only money, but it's like, you know, the people that worked with me, we lost our accounts. Basically, a whole business motto was built off of their platform. And I guess it goes back to, you know, the age-old saying of don't put all your eggs into one basket. It just seems like it was too, it's like the Titanic, you know. I'm sure when the folks saw it in England, they're like, damn. One guy did say it, right, in that movie. This ship is so magnificent or beautiful that even God can't sink it. So that's how Convoy's business started to look like their platform was unstoppable, the amount of work they were getting, their equipment, their power-only programs. That's what we were doing for them, you know, power-only. And it's like, it was just too big to quit. I just say too legit to quit, right? That's the thing. We had no ideas about these, you know, bankruptcy issues or finances, you know, and like, and now you sit back and think like, wow, man, we should have seen the signs.
Yeah, it sounded like when you were talking to Alex, from what he wrote, that there were some, that you did hear rumblings and or witness some things that made you think twice toward the end there.
Right before their collapse, you know, they were renting trailers from, you know, Premier Lease, Extra Lease, McKinney, pretty much all the big, you know, equipment providers. And we would get taxed by Convoy sometimes. We didn't think much of it, right? We're just thinking, all right, maybe they're buying their own trailers now, which they were. But they would tell us, hey, could you guys go drop this specific trailer off at, you know, so-and-so's terminal, because we want to send it back for repairs. But when we would go to the facility, for example, Extra Lease, they would tell my drivers, you guys do know that Conway's going into bankruptcy, right? They're going to go bankrupt because they're terminating their contract with us way too soon. Mm-hmm. We thought it was because they're buying their own trailer, so they don't have need for this. So we listened to them, and we would just shrug it off because I would ask my point of contact, and he would say, oh, no, no. You know, we're just, you know, we're bulking up on our own inventory now. Don't listen to them, you know. But we should have paid more attention to that and been more on top of their quick pay choices. Even that was a big thing, too. They went from giving people free quick pay in 2 or 3 days to pushing out their payment terms to 30 days and then charging to give quick pays. Still, even then, we're like, oh, maybe it's, you know, they're being affected by the economy because it is pretty bad with trucking. Maybe it's nothing. But those were some of the signs we should have caught on to more serious, you know, insight to why is all of a sudden this thing changing, this bulletproof business model. Now, since that October's collapse, anytime that I'm working with a brokerage and something even slightly starts to look weird, I start questioning it right away. Sure. You know, not playing with fire again. We were at 4 company and 9 owner operators. So we were a small, you know, small, decent operation. We were running, you know, dedicated routes. So people had schedules. People started to live their life according to, all right, well, this is how much I'm going to do, how much I'm going to work, how much I'm going to make. So they started making purchases. I'm sure, you know, as a normal family household operates, once you start seeing a consistent amount of work, you're like, all right, maybe if I go buy this thing, or if I go buy this house, or if I go do this, you know, I have enough coming in due to the work. And, you know, it just sucks that I was telling Alex, the biggest thing that hurts is that these folks did what they did. You know, every business has its ups and downs. I'm not mad at that. You know, if they couldn't handle this economy, well, it is tough. It's really tough. But what just pisses me off is that they did what they did. And they're already in the big head honchos are already working for somebody else again, and their lives are back to normal. This bankruptcy doesn't affect them. It doesn't ruin their livelihoods. While there's people that I'm sure that were working with me, they're, you know, we stomached the $35,000 as a company as a whole. But there are some people that when I told them, hey, I can't give you this $5,000-$6,000, it really hurt them. The owner operators. I don't know how they fared. I don't know how they stomached it, but I do know they don't work with me anymore, and they probably badmouth my name to the local community here. Hey, Gil Freight Lines, oh yeah, they juked money, or they did this, you know? It's like, we suffered the real consequence.
Meanwhile, former Convoy CEO Dan Lewis is no longer the CEO of a partly venture-funded, now out-of-business freight platform, but he's nonetheless a technical advisor with Flexport, now operating the Convoy platform. Gil went on to note,
you know, the FMCSA, or, you know, the DOT up in Washington, D.C., they need to make stricter guidelines for brokers now. You know, this whole sham of $75,000 bond, yeah, that needs to go. You know, they need to go tell these people, when you're valued at $3 billion like Conway was, hey, you need to up that bond to $1 million. Now that you've hit this plateau, we know if you're worth $3 billion, you have a lot of carriers working for you, have a lot of contracts. There's a lot of financials involved, right? We need to safeguard the motor carriers. It just feels like, and it's not just Convoy who bellied up. There's, you know, Elite Transit that bellied up. There's a lot of other brokerages that shuttered, small or big. But it just seems like that $75,000, you know, bond, surety bond, I don't know when it was specifically introduced, but they need to revisit that.
Gil wasn't directly involved in trucking when the bond was boosted from a mere required $10,000 for brokerages to get authority on up to $75,000. That happened not all that long ago, in fact, with the legislation enabling it passing in 2012. Map 21 highway bill, some of you may remember. Implementation of the increased bond requirements followed not long thereafter. Gil believes the required bond amount might better be tied to a company's actual revenues or even its valuation. Regular readers will recall reports of the Convoy brokerage's market valuation in the billions of dollars just prior to its implosion last fall.
The day after it finally happened, the load board's cleaned out. The day after, we finally found out they're not in operation. I filed a claim, but we got a letter from their, from their insurance saying, hey, we've given this money to the federal court, and now that court will decide who gets what and how much. Yeah. So, you know, just, it's like once you hit a certain thing, it's like a carrier, right? If a motor carrier has 100 trucks, you know, like these big corporations, they go self-insured because they're not going to pay an insurance company, and insurance company is not going to insure them, so they're self-insured. Anything happens, they got to foot the bill, right? Why do these mega brokers, you know, and I'm talking people even like C.H. Robinson, you know, they seem bulletproof. But
they have a $75,000 bond, right? Right.
Yep. So what's to say that C.H. Robinson, one of the biggest brokerages in the world, if they belly up, they're only liable for $75,000? What the hell? You know, that's not fair to the customers who, like IKEA, now that I'm seeing the rumblings and your guys' the articles you're pushing out, IKEA's got in trouble, you know, from the carriers. And it's not fair because they probably gave the money to Convoy.
I don't think they gave the money to Convoy. I think they've given the money now to the court, and they're saying, you guys figure out who to pay because we don't have a contract with all these carriers, but they're all coming after us for the money. And so here it is.
That's at least nice of them, right? They didn't hang on to the funds. So it's a sign of goodwill. It's awesome.
Yep.
I wish more of the shippers, because I reached out to the shippers too, but I wish more of them were like IKEA. And we found no success. I've been able to find not a single dime.
Really?
And all the avenues seemed closed. We were running dedicated contracts for a shipper called Ardog, tomato paste, canned peaches from Nevada to California. They distributed the empty cans for the canned food.
Gotcha.
So they, you ever heard of Del Monte? So they supplied Del Monte their empty aluminum cans, or those containers. I have all the bill of ladings. That's where a chunk of our money's lost. It's with them, and then the cereal manufacturer, Post Consumer Brand. So we used to do a lot of work out of Salt Lake City, Nevada, to California, of course, right? And they're another one of those people we reached out, actually the day after, because there were trailers loaded with product to get shipped out. We had, we had load pickup numbers. And luckily, we didn't transport the goods, because then we would have been out.
How have you pivoted? I mean, because it sounds like that was the entire business at that point.
Yes. So, I mean, luckily, we did probably about, I would say, 75% of our work through Convoy, but we did have our own equipment on the side that we did local work. So majority of these accounts, you know, that were dedicated was built through Convoy's network of power-only trailers, right? Because they could provide, and they purchased a lot of equipment.
Right.
So it worked out for us. I didn't have to foot the bill, you know, of extra lease, thousands of equipment. So after this happened, we had to downsize. You know, immediately the folks working with us that did not have enough equipment, you know, or didn't have enough funds to buy equipment to continue working, they went other, you know, avenues where they can get equipment or however they needed to fare. You know, we just had to start buying equipment. So on top of the $35,000 that they owed us, you know, we now have to start spending some money to buy equipment and build our infrastructure.
You're talking trailers mostly here?
Yes, trailers and business. You know, since we had these contracts, and I reached out to Ardog and Post and see if we can, you know, get the business we were running for them, because they knew who we were, right? We built a report with these shippers. Hey, we're the carrier. We're working for Convoy, but they saw my drivers every day of the week. And we went back to them after Convoy's collapse. And I don't know, I feel like they had a bad taste in their mouth too. And they probably looked at us as if it was us. And it was so sudden that nobody was willing to talk, like our dog account. Swift. Swift was doing a little bit of the work. So they got all of the work. Instead of, you know, them partnering with new carriers, they just went to the folks already working. Because it is scary for a shipper too, I would assume, you know, if you're, your whole leg of the operation falls off a cliff pretty much. Yeah. Where are you going to go?
What do you think? Should brokerages' required bond amounts be, in effect, tied to the amount of business they're doing? Weigh in with a comment under the post that houses this podcast dated April 22, 2024 at overdriveonline.com/overdrive-radio, or get in touch directly. Part two of my conversation with Gil will dig further into Gil's broader thoughts for the future of the business, including ideas for building out the business with more stable relationships with direct customers in mind, the center of it. Difficult as that may be for a small fleet, it's achievable with both time and persistence, as countless examples have shown through history. So stay tuned wherever you're listening. Overdrive Radio is on Spotify and SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts and YouTube, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, most any listening platform. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and you can find me and all of our episodes also via overdriveonline.com/overdrive-radio. Big thanks to you for listening. Overdrive Radio is a production of Overdrive, the voice of the American trucker. It's edited and produced by me, Todd Dills, with the acoustic guitar under the support of trucker-songwriter Long Haul Paul Marhoefer. The theme is Legend of the Snake Man by Marhoefer, featuring the guitar work of Travis, the Snake Man himself, Wemmick, Terry Two Sox Richardson on bass, keys by Tishabingo, Jim Whitehead, and on drums, Andrew Marshall. The podcast is backed up further by Overdrive's own news editor, Matt Cole, executive editor, Alex Lockie, and video editors, Lawson Rudisil and Andrew Wood. See you next time.